This week, Connecticut's State Board of Education voted to send updated guidance on bell-to-bell restrictions that would keep phones and other personal devices off limits throughout the entire school day. As a reminder, it was not a ban, just updated guidance to help support school districts across the state. The other part of this guidance included purposeful tech instruction, which includes screen time limits. And that's what we talked about with Regina Von Gutkin, founder of the Screen Smart Initiative. Is this considered a turning point with the new guidance? And how can parents have more control over screen time when it comes to their children in the classroom? Regina, welcome to WICC. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I honestly want to first introduce people to the Screen Smart Initiative, what exactly it is, and why did you, a mother of three, decide to even start this?
Yeah, so last year, my book club and I read The Anxious Generation, and my kids are young, and they don't have cell phones, they don't have tablets, and I was just kind of on this path where I was going to give it to them when they started asking for it, and I had no idea that there was such a mental health crisis. So like it moved me so much, I started asking questions up to my district. You know, what are we doing with cell phones? What can we do better? I thought it was going to be a slam dunk. I thought it was going to be, you know, I reach out to my board of ed, I send them an email, and they're like, oh yeah, this is a really good idea. Let's impose a bell-to-bell ban. But that was not the case. I was met with a lot of resistance. I was very surprised. So I started organizing. I'm a lawyer. I'm a mom. I'm not an advocate. I'm not a lobbyist. I've never done anything like this before. So I just kind of started having people sign a petition to tell the district that this is what we wanted. And then we started having meetings and I started sending emails to a large group of people that signed up for my newsletter. And, you know, it's kind of evolved. And as this was happening in my district, the state decided that they were going to try and do this bell-to-bell ban in the legislative session last year. So I kind of refocused my efforts and that kind of snowballed into the Screen Smart Initiative becoming a statewide organization to really push for bell-to-bell. But as we got deeper into the bell-to-bell, you know, the whole concept of ed tech reared its head, which was, again, something I wasn't even really aware of being a problem, and started advocating for less screens in schools. And that's really what the focus has become, you know, because it is such an interesting new part of everybody's lives. And I think, you know, it happens so fast, basically because of COVID, right? You know, everything changed very quickly and we all became, you know, super tech heavy for school. And, you know, we just kind of decided that was the way we needed to do this now without really looking at, you know, is this the right thing? Does this really help? And now that we're out of COVID, you know, I think it's time and everybody realizes it's time to go back and look at what are we doing here? And that's really what this guidance is all about. It's going back and taking a really intentional look at what we're doing in our classrooms. Why are we using tech? Is it helpful? And I think, you know, again, while you, like you said, this is not a law, this is not a mandate, it is a very strong recommendation from the State Board of Education to every district that this needs to be a priority. And that's the first step. Right. You know, we have to start having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that you mentioned, Regina, which I think is really important, is the understanding of just how tech heavy the classroom has become. As you mentioned, mm-hmm. It wasn't until you kind of leaned in and asked questions that you even realized it. I myself did not realize it until, right. A, I had a kid going to public schools, but B, I'm a reporter. So I think the average person doesn't actually realize that. Would you say that's one of the more surprising parts since starting the Screen Smart Initiative? How many, honestly, parents are kind of not in the know about how tech heavy the classroom experience is, especially for littles?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, you had no idea. I had no idea. My kids are going into fourth and second. And, you know, in second grade, my son started talking about Epic, which is this reading app. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And, you know, he kept coming home. I'm on Epic. On Epic, we did this. On Epic, we did that. And I questioned the teacher and I was like, what's Epic? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, we have to start, you know, in second grade because in third grade, they start taking the iReady test. So, you know, we got to get them used to computers and Chromebooks and all that stuff, so they're ready for the test. And I kind of just accepted it. But it's like, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, Regina, if it makes you feel any better, and this is probably, I'm telling you right now, my son's going to have to go to years of therapy, let me tell you. Because the amount of times I have to say, here's the thing, Mr. or Mrs. whoever I'm talking to at the school, I'm a reporter, I do this for a living, I'm looking at the back end of things, I don't even, you know, listen, I'm not cool with this. When my son in kindergarten was handed a Chromebook, let me tell you, Regina, I said to myself, what? Why in the world? What in the world does a five-year-old need with this, right? So this is me. And I'm thinking, okay, don't spiral. Right, Melissa, please don't spiral, because your five-year-old would love for you not to do that. So I asked the school, very similar. Hey, we're trying to teach them these skills. And I think to myself, maybe I'm outdating myself. Maybe I'm saying, well, I learned how to type and use a computer in sixth grade. That was normal, because that's when computers were a big deal. Why does he need to know in kindergarten? Then the computer started coming home. And we are kind of a screen-free home. Granted, my son can get on his video games, but they're connected to Eric, what is the thing I've got his thing connected to? A projector. Thank you so much. It's Friday. So it's connected to a projector so that my husband and I can always keep tabs on what he is playing. He does not have a tablet. He certainly doesn't have a phone. And so him bringing this in, I kind of felt like was an intrusion of my home. And I went to the school about it, and you would have thought I was crazy. Like, they're like, ma'am, this is across the board. Everyone's doing this. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not into it. I don't feel it. And I will say, I give credit to my superintendent, who not only said, okay, well, maybe we don't send the Chromebooks home. But the other thing that she backed up this year, which I'm really proud of, was she said, I don't see why we give the Chromebooks in kindergarten when there are so many transitional things happening that year. Kids are sometimes for the first time being in instruction for the first time. Some of these kids have never even been to preschool. So it's the first time being in kind of a structural learning environment. Sometimes these are the first times these kids are meeting other children because they didn't go to daycare or they didn't go to preschool or they're only children. So there's so many monumental foundational things happening. To add tech on top of it is lunacy. So again, to give credit where credit is due, we are, I think, figuring it out. But I agree with you, Regina. I think we were just kind of expected to say, like, this is what we have to do. And the teachers are kind of handcuffed to it because the state is telling them to do it. But this guidance to me, this is the turning point, is the fact that they said it's not just bell to bell. We also have to start pulling back on the tech in the classroom.
Right. Absolutely. This really is happening across the country. And, you know, the state of Utah passed a law last year that said if technology does not have a significant educational return backed up by actual data, that technology is not coming into our classroom. And that's a statute. And their statute also says that schools have to intentionally minimize screen time. So, you know, this is happening. Connecticut, you know, as we saw last session, is not on the fast track to dealing with this. You know, we couldn't get the bell passed. But this is a step in the right direction, and legislation takes time. And that's another reason why I started Screen Smart Initiative. And I also formed a screen reduction working group because, you know, my kids are in school right now. We don't have time for legislators to, number one, realize this is an issue. Number two, get around to talking about it, then passing some form of legislation that won't go into effect until the next or even the next school year. Mm-hmm. So what my goal is to, not only for my children, but for other parents who feel the same way, who maybe don't have the interest in starting an advocacy group, is to create resources for them to literally, starting this year, reduce their child's screen time in their classrooms. Hmm. So, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've created these templates it's a screen reduction request that you can give to your child's teacher. You know, I think schools are about to start sending out teacher assignments. So when I get my teacher assignment in the next week or two, I'm going to be emailing my teacher to say, hi, I'm Regina. This is what I'm doing. I'm asking you to find ways to minimize my child's screen time this year. I give them some examples. I give them some apps and programs that I don't want them on. I'm offering them assistance. I'll be sending in paper and pencils. And it's a way to start a conversation.
Regina Von Gutkin is here, founder of Screen Smart Initiative. And I am going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com, so you can learn more about the work that she and others are doing, but also get connected with the resources that she was just talking about. So I clicked on, actually, Regina, the grade 3 through 6 to 7 screen reduction request. I was just reading through it. It's awesome. And I actually will be sending this to my son's school. So stay tuned, my son's school. I'm sure they know what's coming. But you know what I want to know? The other part of this is, well, two parts of this, Regina, I'd love for you to speak on. And you started to touch on it, honestly, is obviously educating, having parents really understand the screen time limits, the importance of it, and how we kind of need to go back to some basics a little bit. But the other part of it that I think is important is also making sure your kids understand why you're doing it. Because I do find that's an important thing. I shared this story with my audience recently. My son went to a robotics camp for a week at Fairfield U and he loved it. He was the only child in the entire camp, not an exaggeration, that did not have a Roblox account. He was the only one.
Wow.
And the camp counselor said, we need to make one. And I said, absolutely not. You cannot. I said, you can't. I said, my son is not allowed on Roblox. And they said, well, that's part of the camp, so he wouldn't be included. I said, well, can he use your account? Because he's not allowed to use one. And so they did. They made like a guest account, basically, and they, you know, report back. But by the end of the week, my son told me, he goes, Mom, I felt like a loser this week. He said, I'm the only kid in the camp who didn't have it. And we had a full conversation. I had my husband sit down. The three of us sat and we talked about why we have very major screen limits. And I was real with my son, who's only 8. But I was real with him about the dangers of the internet or how adults can't even handle screen limits and things. And it made sense to him. How important is it that we're not just giving this instruction to the teachers or the schools or things like that, but we're also explaining to our kids on the other side of it why we do this?
No, 100%. It's such an important piece of this. And I think it's a bigger challenge, obviously, for those families who had children, you know, in school during COVID, who are probably entrenched in tech. And, you know, they now are living this, breathing this, and trying to take it back. And it's so much harder for them, but it's not impossible. And I think that that's really, it's up to the parent, right? Because it's not going to be easy. It's a difficult conversation, and it may be that they are much different than their peers. I think what's starting to happen is that, you know, younger families are kind of realizing this is happening because of this tidal wave of data that's coming out. And there's going to be a whole new crop of kids who never even had it. And I think, you know, for those families that already are entrenched in it, it's really about building a community of peers and friends that are, that share your values and can get on board together. And it's really about parents talking to other parents and saying, we can do this together. It's going to be so much easier if, you know, Jenny and Laura are not the only ones, at least they have each other at the sleepover party without smartphones or without Roblox accounts. So, you know, it's hard work. It's not easy, but I think we owe it to our kids to explain why we're doing it and, you know, put real barriers and boundaries in place for their benefit.
I mean, and the other part of it too, Regina, as I mentioned, there's two parts to this. How important is it that we are not just dictating to the teachers and to our kids about screen limits, but we also get ourselves in check? Because I got to be honest, I actually got in an on-air argument with the attorney general about this. I said, I said to him, I was like, well, I respect the fact that you want to have more controls over how much, you know, kids are exposed to online and on their phones. What about us, the adults? And he actually snapped back and he said, well, you know, I'm not saying that every job is like this, but as the attorney general, I need my phone 24/7. And I'm like, I don't think you do. Yeah. I know your job's important. I'm not about to pretend like I know how your job works, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think you need it at the dinner table. I think people would give you grace if you took time off of your phones. It was really uncomfortable. But I think that is part of the conversation, too, is we have to get ourselves in check as well as adults.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not a kid-only issue. Like, we have all been given mini slot machines in our pockets. We are all addicted. To think that we're not is just, you know, it's just lunacy. You know, like, we are all addicted. We all do way too much screen time. You know, I bought an app to put on my phone to limit how many times I can open all of the apps that I like, you know, and I have to, like, acknowledge that, all right, you only have this many opens left. And it's been a huge help for me because, you know, it's just mindless. You're not doing anything. You're not getting anything out of it. And when your kids see you on your phone, that's telling them that this is okay. It also makes parenting so much harder because, like, our brains are so overstimulated by everything that's coming through on our phones. Mm. Then you have these little people who have so much energy and just want your attention. You know, it just makes, like, explosions happen in your brain. Mm-hmm. And so obviously it's so much better for everybody when we are not on them all the time. And it is entrenched in our life. You know, I am not anti-tech. I think none of us are in a place where we can do this life without it right mm-hmm. now, right? Because it has become so entrenched. So nobody's saying that it's the devil or it's the worst thing to ever happen, but I think we need to manage it. We need to learn how to utilize it appropriately. And it's a hard ask for everybody because, like, we literally are all addicted.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Regina, I want to thank you for what you do, Screen Smart Initiative, and I am going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com, for people to learn more, get more connected to this, and I so appreciate having this conversation with you here on WICC. Thank you for your time.